Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chavav. We left off four lines from the top of daf chavav amud aleph. I'm Rabbi Shimon. There's a lot to cover today. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Betchila hayikarin also osvei shviya. So in the Mishnah that we had, the Mishnah said as follows, that in the beginning it was a cryptic statement. We didn't fully understand. We said we're going to see it in the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Betchila hayikarin also osvei shviya. Originally, they used to call them gatherers of shviyas. Of Shemitah fruits, Misha Rabu Ha'anasim, when they're multiplied, the people who forced them, Chazru Lekroson Sochare Shvias. Then we returned to call them Sochare Shvias, merchants of Shvias. So now we're trying to figure out what that means. My Kamar, the Gemara says, what does that mean? Amrav Yehuda Hachi Kamar, this is what it means. Betchila Haya Omrim Osve Shvias Ksherin Socharin Psulin. That originally they used to make a distinction, and they would refer to people who gathered shvias fruits, because someone could go into someone else's field and gather fruits, that was fine. But socharam psulan. But if they were going to go and gather fruits and sell fruits, that was puzzle. So basically, it was okay to gather fruits as long as you were keeping it and you were going to use it before the Zmana Bior. We know that in Shemitah that there's, as long as that kind of fruit is still found in the field, you can keep it in your house and you can eat it. Once it's no longer in the field, you can't have it in your house anymore, but you can gather fruits. So that what happened? Misha Rabu Mamtsie Mos Laniyim. That when there became multiplied, there became many people who would give money to the poor people. Va'azli Aniyim Va'asviluhu Umaisu. That they would, Daniyim would go out and gather these fruits of Shvias and bring them to the people, because basically they couldn't farm their own fields. Aniyim used to go and gather things, so people would start paying Daniyim and say, I'm gonna pay you and go gather fruits for me. What's the problem with that? If I go gather fruits, if someone is an Ani and they go gather fruits for someone who's paying him, what is he essentially doing? He's selling Shvias. He's selling the fruits of Shvias. So therefore, Chazru Lomar, so they went back to say, Echazev, Echazev, Psulin. That either way is possible, because at the end of the day, if you're going and selling Shvias fruits, or you're gathering Shvias fruits for other people for money, that's still selling. So they said that it would be possible. So, therefore, how does our Mishnah read? Rashi says, and this is how we would understand the Mishnah. Betchilu, in the beginning, la'elu psulin, betchilu la'elu ha'psulin achshav misum sochre shviyas ha'yikarno se osvei shviyas. He says the people that nowadays we call the sochre shviyas, people who sell shviyas fruits, originally we used to call them osvei shviyas gatherers, or ksherin, and it was fine. We didn't have a problem with these people. But misharabu ha'anasim, but when people who forced them, in this case, we're understanding not some people who forced them by offering them money, and that therefore they would start selling it. Chazru likros es ha'osven socharin. Then we started calling these people who gathered it, instead of calling them gatherers, we would call them sellers. Upsulin, and they became puzzle. So that's the initial understanding of the Mishnah, is saying that initially it was fine. People were gatherers, but then the gatherers became merchants, so we started calling them merchants and made them puzzle. So the Gemara says, Kashuba b'nei Rechava. The sons of Rechava asked, who are the sons of Rechava? We actually interestingly encountered this, that we had Eifa and Avimi on Yazayin Amabez. We talked about this. We said, if you remember, we had all these names, and we said who the names referred to. So the Harifi, the Pumpadisa, the sharp people of Pumpadisa, was Eifa and Avimi, the sons of Rechava. So that's the same B'nai Rechava we're talking about here. So they had a problem with this explanation. They said, Hai Misha Rabu Ha'anasim. If that's the explanation, is that people who were gatherers started becoming sellers, then why do you say that it changed when people forced them to do it? Misharabu atagrimi boile, it should say that when they're multiplied to become any merchants, meaning people started selling. It was not an issue of anyone forcing them to do it, it was they started selling. So why do you say that they shifted because there were lots of anas and people forcing them? It should say they became merchants, or there were people buying it, forcing them. There was no one, and a ma'anis is someone who normally forces someone into something. So rather, we're going to give a different explanation for what our Mishnah is talking about with these osvei shviyas, the gatherers versus the socharei shviyas, the merchants of shviyas. Ela betchilo haya omrim echad zevi echad zev psulin. So it used to be that they said, look, you can't, either if you're a gatherer or you're a seller, and they would think that gatherers who are gathering large quantities are either trading in this or they're keeping it in their house. So therefore, after this mana bior, so therefore, we used to say whether you're a gatherer or you're a merchant of shvius produce, then it's your pasul edus. What happened? Misharabu ha'anasim, but then there came people who forced them. The Gemara says, Umay ninu, who are them? Arnuna, the tax collectors. And Rashi says, Arnuna mas, it's a tax, shagova ha'melech minatvuos, that the king used to collect from grain. Kach v'kach kurin minasad al-shana. You have to give me X amount per field. So what happened? There were people who were forcing them to give them fruits. And what happened? Kedemachers Rav Yanai, Rav Yanai announced, Poku Vizaru Beshvias Mishum Arnuna. That he said, you know what? Because the king is going to look for this amount of produce from you. And if you don't plant this year, you're not going to have the produce to give him, and he's going to take away your field, right? So therefore, Chazal Paskin, they made a takana and said, you can plant during Shvias. So okay, because of Arnuna. So then, once he made a takana that says you can plant during Shvias, Chazru Lomar, they went back and said, we used to say that gatherers or sellers were pasul eidos, but now we're going to say Osfin Ksherin, that someone who gathers is kosher, because why is he gathering from the field? Why did he plant and gather? Because he needs to pay the Arnuna. He needs to pay the tax, and we said that people who need to pay the tax can plant during Shvias. But Socherin, but if he became a seller, then it would be Pusel. So that's how we understand the Mishnah, that initially everyone was Pusel Eidos, but then we made a distinction because those who were farming just for the purpose of paying the tax was allowed. On what basis, the question is, if the Torah says you can't sell Shvias, on what basis can we make this takana that they could plant during Shvias? So Rashi and Tosfos in his first answer, and this is also the Yad Ramah, says that because Shemitah at that time was Midrabanan, so therefore Midrabanan, the Chazal were Makel and said that you could plant even during Shvias. Tosfos and the Ran as well have a problem with this. Is because they say, how do you do that? How do you get away with doing it? So instead of saying it's a drabanan, they would say that because the Tosa says the pikuach nefeshu, it's pikuach nefesh, shashol lahem a melech mas, because the king wants a tax, and they don't have what to pay, umesim betfisas a melech, they're gonna die in prison, and therefore, the understanding that this is an issue of pikuach nefesh, according to Tosos. So, because otherwise people might die in jail. The question is that there's many mefarshim poskim who talk about, the Ritvaz has a tshuva where he talks about whether if there's no kosher meat around, you can eat kosher meat. And he basically says you have to spend every penny you have to get kosher food. Before, if there's no food, absolutely, he can eat, because otherwise he'll die. But he has to spend all his money. And he talks about the fact that we say, for a mitzvah, you only need to spend up to a third. But they say, that's only mitzvah saseh. A mitzvah lo saseh, you have to spend all your money to avoid a mitzvah lo saseh. And they say this even by the Rabbanan, the Chavetz Yair, has a similar tshuva, where a guy tells him that either you drink with me yayin nesach, or I'm going to cut off your ear. That was the case. And Yayin Nesach, we know, is a Drabanan. And so, in that case, it was a Drabanan. And so they said, the Chavetz Yair said that if there's somehow you could pay money to get out of this, you have to pay all the money you have. The Chavetz Chaim says a similar thing. So the question is that they ask Akasha and all these people from Rashi, because you see Rashi says, because Shemitah was only Drabanan, therefore they were able to say that you don't have to come up with the money elsewhere, and you could actually violate the halachas of Shemitah. So they say, the raya, that you don't need to spend all your money. So the Shevet Levi says that there's a distinction between a rabbim and a yachid, because if there's the rabbim, they can make a takana. The same chazal who said that you should observe Shvias midrabanan can say you're released from it. But a yachid can't make that cheshbon because Chazal aren't releasing the yachid. So therefore, he says, the Sheva Levi says, it's not necessarily a raya from Rashi this way. In any event, further, so the Gemara says an interesting story. Reb Chiya bar Zarnuki, Reb Shimon ben Yehotzedek, have a ka'azli la'abra shana ba'asya. That Reb Chiya bar Zarnuki and Reb Shimon ben Yehotzedek were going to be ma'aber the shana in Asya. Tosus explains that they were really just going to discuss it for reasons we don't have time to get into right now. Pagabahu Reish Lakish encountered them. Itzo Badayu, he said he's going to go along with them. Amr, he said to himself, Ezel, I'll go with them. Achzi Hechi Avdi Uvda. I want to see how they talk about being ma'aber the shana. We dealt with this previously. If that, you know, do you stick in an extra month that year? They used to make the calculation. So Reish Lakish said, let me see what they're up to. Okay, so as they're going, Chaz Yalahu Gavr the Kakariv. They saw a person, Rashi says, Kariv, that he was a Charish. He was plowing. And this was during Shemitah. So Amr Lahan, Reish Lakish said to the two of them, Kohen v'Charish. You see a Kohen over there and he's plowing. Why did he say he was a Kohen? Because we're going to see in a minute, Kohanim, normally we say Kohanim Zrizim Haim. In this case we say Kohanim are suspect when it comes to observing Shviyas. So he saw someone plowing during Shemitah. So he said, look, there must be a Kohen over there plowing. Amrulo, they said to him, Yachalomer agistonani besocho. They said, maybe the guy's going to tell you that he is just he's an employee. And so, well, how does being an employee help? Rashi says two reasons. Rashi says, first of all, maybe he's just collecting for a guy, which is only us in Midrabanan, or else maybe it was during this time when they said you could plant for Shvias in order to pay the tax. We just talked about it. So maybe he's only collecting enough to pay the tax. How do you know that he's doing the wrong thing? Tosus brings both of those answers, but he prefers the answer that he was collecting the tax because he says you really shouldn't plow for a guy either during Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. In any event, they were melamed tzchus on this guy. Su chazi lahu gavra. They went further and they saw another person. Dave kasach bekarmi, that he was, Rashi says, zomer kerim, he was pruning his vineyard. Amar Lahan, he said, Kohen v'zomer. You have a Kohen over here who's pruning the field, which he shouldn't be doing during Shemitah. Amar Leh, Yachal Omer, La'ako beis abad anitzarach. Maybe he's going to say that he's doing it not for the purposes of pruning, but for the purposes of making some kind of net or thing that would cover the olives when they would smash the olives. That's how Rashi explains it. So they said again, maybe he has a good reason because Antosus gets into the detail how are you able to prune without improving the fruits, but whatever. Amalehem, so Reish Lakish said to them, this is after the second case where he saw someone doing something that he thought was wrong, and they defended it. So he said, he says, Halev Yodea Imla'akil Imla'akilus. So he said as follows, that the heart knows whether it's for a net or whether, mixing up this word, but okay, whatever it is. Rashi says, Lavar al-das. He says, the heart knows whether someone's really doing it for a net or they're just trying to violate the Torah. He was upset at them. He felt like, look, I'm telling you these people are doing the wrong thing and you should rebuke them, and instead you're coming up with reasons to assume that maybe they're not doing anything wrong. Now the Gemara has just a general question for a moment. Hi, Amalahu Bereisha. Basically, the Gemara is saying, is this sequence right that they saw someone plowing and they said maybe he's an employee? Then they saw someone pruning and they said maybe he's making nets. He says, Ilei maha kamaisa, if you're going to say that it's in the order or is presented to us, hakamaisa amaluhu bereisha, that this first thing happened first. Hanami lemru agiston ani besocho. So then why did they have to come up with a second answer? The first time they said he's an employee. So when they saw someone pruning, they should say also he's an employee. Why would they make this answer about that he was just making it for a net? Elahar meluhu bereisha v'hadar meluhu hach. But rather, it was the other way around. They saw the guy pruning first. This is just a technical detail in the story. They saw the guy pruning first, and they said, well, maybe he's making a net. Then they saw the guy plowing, and they said, well, maybe he's an employee. Had it happened in the opposite, they would have just said to both instances, maybe he's an employee. So that was just clarifying in the story. So now the Gemara continues, as Mishna Kohen. Why did Reish Lakish assume that the people he saw violating Shemitah were Kohanim? He says, Mishum dechashidi ashvias, because Kohanim are chashid on Shvias, desanya, because we learned in a brisa, saw truma shenaflo lemei asan shel Shvias, tala. So he says as follows, The halacha we know is that something can be batel in another thing. Sometimes it's 1 in 60, 1 in 200. It happens to be the measure for truma is 100. So what happened here? You had a saw of truma that fell into 100 saw of shmita fruits, right? So the answer is tala. That you can, it's batel. Where does the lashon of tala come from? That you take out one saw, because at the end of the day, the truma is batel in the sense that regular people can eat it. But at the end of the day, the truma belonged to the kohen. So you take out the value, one saw you still give to the kohen, but you're able to eat the other 100 saw of shvius fruits, and the fact that truma dropped in doesn't prevent the czar from eating it, because truma is batel 1 in 100. Okay, pachos mikan, but let's say there's less than 100 saw there, and a saw falls in, so you don't have the requisite 100-to-1 ratio that you need in order to say that truma becomes batel, becomes nullified. So if it's less than that, then yirkavu, you should let it rot. Now the question is, Gemara says, Vavinamba, we were trying to figure this out. Amai yirkavu, why do you have to let the fruit rot? Yimkarenu lekayim b'dmei truma. Chutz mi'dmei osasa. He says what you should do is, fine, if there's not enough to be mevatel for the truma to become batel, so then say, fine, this is fruit that's subject to the restrictions of both Shemitah, so you have to eat it before there's mana beer, and Truma, so therefore who can eat it? A coin. So sell it to a coin. And then obviously you sell it to a coin. Rashi points out the price is cheaper because you can only sell it to a coin. It's also cheaper because it doesn't mention it here, but we mentioned it elsewhere, that it could become Tameh. And then it has to be burned. So whatever it is, it has a lower value, but at least sell it. Why are you letting the fruits rot? Fruits rot. That the Kohanim are chashed on Shvius, and therefore you can't sell it to a coin. Where does this idea come from that a coin is chashed on Shvius? So Rashi says, Lahashel Shvius achas mana beer, that we're worried that the Kohanim are going to keep the fruits after the zman habir, after the time you have to take it out of your house. Why? The moru bo hetero, because they're going to be more heter for themselves. They're going to give themselves an out. Mishum the ishteru truma v'kadshe kachim lagabayu, because they know, kohanim know, that they're allowed to have truma and kadshe kachim, which regular people aren't allowed to have. Vashvias nami kedushas haaretz, and Shemitah also has kedushas haaretz. So maybe they're going to figure, just like I could have these holy things like kadshe kachim or things, I can also have Shemitah fruit, and therefore they're going to be lax in it. So basically the idea is, and since we see they're lax in that respect, maybe they're lax in general in respect to Shemitah laws, and that's why Reish Lakish assumed that when he saw people doing something wrong, those were probably Kohanim. Amru, so what happened? So we had Reish Lakish was tagging along with Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon, and they didn't like this. He was pointing out these problems. They were Melamed Schus. He got angry at them and said, yeah, the heart knows whether that's really what's going on. So in short, they weren't enjoying his company too much. So Amru, they said, Trudahu Dane. This guy's a pain in the neck. Rashi says, Truda, that he is, Kantaranhu. He's an arguer. Kantaranhu Zeu, Matriach Bidvarav, who are gonna be distracted with his words. They didn't want him coming along with them, because remember, they were going to be Ma'aber Dashana. They were going to figure out if they should add a thing. So Kimatu Lahasam, when they reached Asya, they were going to Asya, Slikul Igra, they went up and Shalful Adarga Mituse. So what happened? Remember, we learned on Daf Yud Aleph that they used to go up in the Aliyah, in the attic, to figure out the thing. So they went up in the attic, and he was coming behind them, and they pulled up the ladder. They didn't want him up there, because they said, we had enough with this guy. So also Lakami, the Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish went in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, Amar Leh, he said, you know, he went through like a back and forth with himself. He said, B'nei Adama Chashudin al Shvius, Sheirin la'aber Shana. He said to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, if you have people who are chashud, who are suspect with respect to Shvius, are they kasher to add a month into the year? Basically, he was saying, I don't like these guys. They weren't careful about Shvius because they didn't want to correct these people. So Hadar Amar, so then he said, you know what? Lo kashali, it's not such a question. Me did the Havei Shlosha Roy Bakar. Because we had this story that we dealt with a little while ago with the Shlosha Roy Bakar. If you remember that when we were talking about how you add a month, they had this whole thing that the Chachamim listened to the shepherds, and they were saying if the crops both crops sprout at the same time, or if an animal is cold in the morning and hot in the afternoon, or if the wind, when you blow your breath, if you remember this, so the Chachamim listened to the Kohanim, and they said, this is the weather of Adar, this is the weather not of Adar, and therefore they added an extra month. So he says, I guess if you can involve Shlosha Roi Bakar, three shepherds, in figuring out the Ibor of the Shana, in that instance, I guess you can involve them too. So he wasn't thinking very much of them. Rabbanan Achshavinus Samach. Achush Benayu Samach. That you see the Rabbanan relied on the advice of these three Roy Bakar. So maybe it's not such a big deal that they're going to be part of being Ma'abr the Shana, and maybe what they'll do is valid. Vahadar Amar, and then Reish Lakish said, but you know what? Forget that. I was thinking it might be okay to include them because we could include Shlosha Roy Bakar Lo Dami. Those instances aren't similar. Hasar Hadar Imnu Rabbanan. He says there's a problem, because in that case, as we learned in the Gemara there, the Gemara asked, how do we rely on these three Roy Bakar? And they said, no, we weren't Ma'abr the Shana on the basis of the Roy Bakar. Chazal, in their own minds, figured out that this was, that we should add a month, but they relied in a certain sense. They relied for support on these stories with the Roy Bakar. So what is Reish Lakish saying? He's saying in the story with the Roy Bakar weren't part of the minion, or the way the some learn is that they weren't Neman, but the idea was that they weren't part of the deciders of whether they'll add an extra month. But in this case, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon went up there, they're going to be part of the group, and I think the outcome is going to be invalid, because I think that they're a Kesher Rishayim. So he says, and therefore, Kesher Rishayim ain't in a minyan. You can't have a Kesher Rishayim, a group of Rishayim, in the minyan. So basically, he really had a dim opinion of them, and he was saying, I think that their calculations of whether we're going to be Ma'abr the Shana are no good. Rav Yochanan da'aka. Rashi says, da'aka means like this bothers me, and he says, da'sha'ata koreos on Rishayim, and you know, what are you doing calling them Rishayim? Okay, Kiyasul Kamed Rav Yochanan. So now Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon came down from the attic and they heard about what Reish Lakish said. Amrulei, Karilan Roy Bakar Veloy Amrulei Mar Veloy Midi. He says, fine, the fact that you didn't like that they called us Rishayim, but they called us cattle people. Like, you know, that didn't bother you? You didn't say anything to defend our honor? So Amrulehu, he said to them, V'Karilachu Roy Tzon, had he called you Roy Tzon, which we learned yesterday, Roy Tzon are even worse than Roy Bakar, because Roy Bakar, if you raise them in your house, they're not chashed on gezela, but Roy Tzon are chashed on gezela altogether. We had this yesterday, that's why they're puzzled. So he says, and let's say they called you Roy Tzon, Maya Minale, what would I tell them? And he says, what do you want from me? What am I supposed to do? The Marsha interestingly learns that what he was saying was, you know, people in the heat of battle, we learned this Reish Lakish, so he said he's the one that grinds mountains together. They, you know, you see this, and sometimes you have a chavrusa and you're yelling back and forth, that's ridiculous, that's stupid, it's not really saying anything. And Rav Yochanan was saying, you know, he's using an expression, don't be so bothered by it. Okay, but in any event, so that's the end of the story. So now we're going to try and figure out some things. My Kesher Rishayim, what is this idea that he used, this idea, Kesher Rishayim Eina Min HaMinyan, that a gathering or a connection of Rishayim is not counted in a minyan. So where is this? Shevna, Havidarish Betzlesa Ravsa. So, okay, Shevna was, Rashi points out, Mimuno Al-Beso Shechizkiyo Melech Yehuda. Chizkiyo was a righteous king of Melech Yisra, he was a Melech Yehuda, and Shevna was the guy in charge of his affairs, his palace. Now Shevna was a traitor, as we'll see. So Shevna have a darsh betleisa rabsa, Chizkiyah have a darsh bechadsa rabsa. So Shevna had 130,000 people used to listen when he darshened. He had 130,000 followers, and Chizkiyah HaMelech had 110,000 followers. So even though he was his subordinate, he had more followers. Okay, kiyasa Sancheriv vitzar alad Yerushalayim. So what happened? Sancheriv came. This is a story that's in multiple places. In Nach, he came with a massive army, and he was sieging Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech told the people to fortify the city, and that he should believe in Hashem. And Shevna got into his mind that he was going to, he was kind of rebelling against Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And what did he do? Kasev Shevna Piska. He wrote a note, Shada Begira, and he shot it with an arrow. He took the note and he shot it out of Yerushalayim where there was a siege, and it had a note on it. And it said, Shevna v'siato yishlimo, Chizke v'siyate lo hishlimu. That Rashi says shlimu la'avdecha. La'avdech. That he basically said, me, Shevna, and my group, we're going to serve you. We're good with you. But Chizkiyah HaMelech, they don't want to serve you, or they don't want to have peace with you. Shenamar, as it says, ki hine rishayim yidruchun kashas, konunu chitzam al yaser. That says, the rishayim, bend the bow, and konunu chitzam al yaser, that they put the arrow on the string. So it says, rishayim are doing this with an arrow. That's a reference to Shevna, who shot a note to Sancheriv using an arrow. So you see, it's rishayim. Mistafi Chizkio. So what happened? Chizkio was getting nervous here. He said, Amr, he said to himself, Dilma Chasa Shalom Natya Daite de Kuchabrichu Basaruba. So he says, I know that there's an idea that Acharei Rabban Lahatos, that you rely on the majority. So he says, I'm worried. Maybe the Rabbono Shel Olam is going to look at the fact that Shevna has more people than me, because Shevna had 130,000 followers, and Chizkio only had 110,000 followers. So Chizkio said, maybe they're the Rov. And Kivan the Ruba Mimsri Inun, Kivan the Ruba Mimsri Inun Nami Mimsri. So he says, if they're the Rov, maybe I need to go after the Rov, and I needed to do what Shevna wants. You know, because he had got doubts. So Bon Navi, the Navi came, Va'amrlo, this Yeshayo came to him, Va'amrlo lo somron kesher lechol asher yomer ha'am zeh kesher. He says that not every time someone says that they're a group, should you say that they are in fact a valid group. Kolomar, as if to say, what Yeshayo Navi was telling to Chizkiyo, Melch Yehuda was telling him, Kesher Rishayim, who this is a bad group. The Kesher Rishayim in a minion. And for purposes of figuring out which is the Rov, which is the majority that we follow, we exclude Rishayim. So therefore, Shevna and his group are Rishayim. Don't worry about them, and don't think that you're the minority and therefore need to submit to them. So you see this idea of Kesher Rishayim. Okay, but now we started the story with Shevna. We can't leave us in suspense right there, so we're going to hear the rest of the story. So Halach Lachtsov lo kever b'kivrei beis David. So now Shevna was getting already in his mind, I'm going to be the next king. I'm going to take over for Chizkio. So what did he do? He maybe jumped ahead of himself a little bit. He decided to go dig himself a kever amongst the graves of the house of David. David HaMelech, in other words, because only the kings could be buried there. And he figured, I'm going to be the king. Let me go dig my grave already. But Navi, Yeshayah Navi came to him. And he said to him, Malacha po, what are you doing here? Milacha po, what, you know, who are you here? Ki chatzavta lecha po kever, that you're digging yourself a kever here. Hine Hashem, mitaltalcha taltala gever. That Hashem is going to, make you, walk around or wander like the wandering of a man. So in any event, the Yeshayah Navi was telling him, you're not going to succeed, and what are you doing here that you're trying to make a rebellion? Amar Rav, what does this mean? Taltula, what do you see from this? Taltula, the Gavri Kashimi the Itza. When he says, I'm going to make you wander like the wanderings of men, for a man to wander is harder than a woman. Why? Mefarshim explained, because a woman, people have Rachmanis on her. You know, you see it maybe when a woman comes around collecting at the door, you're going to treat her a little nicer than a stream of men. So therefore, that's why Yeshayahu Navi said you're going to wander like a man, because when a man wanders, fewer people help him than when a woman wanders. In any event, it continues what he was saying. He says, I'm going to wrap you so that you'll be wrapped up. This is what Yeshayahu Navi said to Shevna, you're going to be wrapped up. And so Rav Yosef Rav Chanina says, this tells you that Shevna got tzaras. Well, how do you know? Because Ksiv Hacha, it's written here, Ve'itcha Ata, Ksiv Hasam, and it's written by the halachas of tzaras, V'yasafam Ya'ate, that he should cover their lips. Basically, that they would turn up their beged to cover their lips when someone was tzorua. So we see that Shevna, in addition to getting castigated over here by Yeshayo, got tzaras. The pasuk continues, "Tzanef yitzanfcha tzanefa," that it'll be around you like a hat, kadur, like the way Rashi learns is that it was like a wall that's around something that's protecting something. Savav yisavavucha chayolos kadur that basically that the armies are going to surround you, and is el eretz rechavos yadayim that you're going to get the full pasuk is tanuf yitznafcha tznefa kador that you're going to get surrounded like a hat or like a low wall in surround something el eretz rechavos yadayim to a land that's very wide. Shama tzamos, there you're going to die. Veshama markvos kvodecha, and there the chariots of your kavod, of your honor, kolon beis adonecha, will be the shame like you wanted to do to the house of your master. So basically, this is Yishayo and Navi telling him you're cooked. So what happened? Who bikesh kolon beis adonov? That he wanted, that's what the pasuk is saying at the end, you wanted to shame your master, Chizkiyo HaMelech, lefikach, therefore, nepach kvodo lekolon. So therefore, your kavod is going to get turned into shame, you, Shevna. So what happened? Kiavi nafik, so Shevna now went out to greet Sancheiriv, and he was taking all his people with him. Kiavi nafik, when he was going out, also Gavriel came, and achte ledasha ba'api misharisei. That, Gavriel, you know, Shevna was leading the charge, leaving the gates of Yerushalayim, with all his 130,000 people behind him, I guess. And Gavriel Amalek came as soon as Shevna walked out, Gavriel Amalek shut the doors, and all his people were left in Yerushalayim. And now he's standing out there by himself. So when he reached, Sancheiriv's people, they said, you sent us this note with the arrow, telling you, me and all my people are going to come to you. Where are all your people? Where are the people who serve you? Hecha Amar Hadrubi. He says they reneged on me. They went back. They stayed in Yerushalayim. Amrulei. They said to him, Imkein Achochu Kamachaychus. They said you're just making fun of us. This whole thing was a joke. You made us. You sent us this note. You told us you're going to come with your big crowd, and now it's just you. So what did they do? Nakvu ba'akvav. They made holes in his feet. V'tala'uhu bezinve suseim, and they hung him through those holes in his feet by the tail of their horses. V'hayim megarinos ala kotzim ala barkanim, and they would drag him on the thorns and the sharp things. So he didn't have a very good end. Rabbi Lazar said, Shevna bal hanah haya. That Shevna was a Baal Hanah. Rashi says, what's a Baal Hanah? Kimashmo, that he was someone who wanted pleasure. So the Mefarshim explained that they're trying to discuss, how could he be such a great person and he gets messed up? This way is because he was a pleasure seeker. Rashi says, V'yeshamer Mishkav Zachar, that he was a homosexual. And that's what he got himself into trouble in that sense. He was a Baal Hanah. How do you know? Because Ksiv Hachat is written here, Leich Bo El Asochein Hazeh, that when it was written regarding Shevna, that the pasuk in Malachim in Yeshayahu says that you should go to the Sochein, who was like the money man. That was Shevna. So you see, Shevna is called a Sochein. Uksiv Hasam, and it's written there that Vatihilo Sokenes, that when David HaMelech was older and he was constantly cold, so they said they'll bring a young woman to lay near him and to warm him up, and she's called a Sokenes. So you see that just like she was there for David HaMelech's pleasure, that Shevna, who's called the Sochein, was seeking pleasure, and that's how he got off the rails. Okay, so now, the Pasuk continues. This is a Pasuk in Tehillim, in Kapitel Yud Aleph, which says, Ki ha-shasos ye'arsun tzadik ma'pal, that the shasos are going to be destroyed, and tzadik ma'pal, they're going to say, what's the deal with the tzadik? We're going to see three explanations. And the explanation, the way you touch the pasuk will be different depending on the three. Rav Yehuda Rav Eina each explained the pasuk. Chad amar ilu Chizkiyo v'siato neharasim, that if Chizkiyo and his people had been destroyed, meaning if Shevna was successful in his rebellion, tzadik mapal, then people would say, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do here? So the tzadik is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what the pasuk means. Had Shevna been successful, people would say, what's up with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Wasn't protecting Chizkiyo. The Chadam and the other says, Ilu Beis HaMikdash Yeharas, had the Beis HaMikdash been destroyed, and all of this has to do with how you define the word Shasos, that Shasos are being destroyed. So we're saying maybe it's the Beis HaMikdash, that the Pasuk is saying, had the Beis HaMikdash been destroyed, Tzadik Mapal, people would say, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that he didn't protect the Beis HaMikdash from being destroyed by Sancheriv. V'ula Amar, Ula explains the Pasuk, Ilu Machshevosov shall also Rasha Einer Neharasos. Had the thoughts of this Rasha, meaning Shevna, not been destroyed, Tzadik Mopal, people would say, why was this a good way to treat Chizkiyo HaMelech? So in any event, all of them are saying, the Pasuk is basically saying, had Chizkiyo HaMelech, had Shevna been successful, there would have been a taina on the Ribbono Shel Olam, either what are you doing, Ribbono Shel Olam, or how are you rewarding Chizkiyo HaMelech? That's what the Pasuk means. So now, all of that, those three explanations, were all based on how you define the word Shasos in Kapitul Yud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Bishlomo lemandamer ilu machshavosav shel osa rasha, the third explanation, which said, had you allowed the thoughts of Shevna, had they not been destroyed, then we would have asked, how could you do this to the Tzadik Chizkiyo? So Shasos are being understood that the Shasos that are being destroyed are the thoughts of Shevna. So he says, that works, that the Shasos should be destroyed. Why? Because Rashi says, that it's talking about the thoughts of Shevna. That we said earlier about Shevna, that the Rishayim pulled their bow, which we said was him. These are thoughts that he has in the walls of his heart. Yeah, Rasan should be destroyed. Rashi points out, Shasos is Lashon v'lo Shas Libo Gam Lezos. It's written by Paro right after Makas Dam. After the blood, it says the Khartoumim were able to replicate it, the magicians of Mitzrayim, and Paro walked back to his castle, he said, and he didn't give any thought, Lo Shas Libo Gam Lezos. He didn't give any thought to this, he wasn't impressed because his magicians were able to replicate it. So you see that Shas means thoughts. Okay, so that explains one of the views. Ulamanda Rebbe Sam Migdash, according to the one who says that Shasos was that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, and then people would say, you know, what's up with Hashem doing that? So that also makes sense to define Shasos as the Beis HaMikdash Shasnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Evan Hayis Hashem Yimais Neviyim Arishonim, that there was a stone, the stone that's on Har Bayis, that was there from the times of the Neviyim Rishonim, Shasiyah Hayis Nikres, and it was called the Evan Shasiyah. And so what do you see? When it says the Shasos are going to be destroyed, that could be a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, which has the Evan Shasiyah, which is like the foundation stone. But according to the one who says that the Shasos are destroyed is a reference that had Chizkiyo and his people been destroyed, people would have said, what's up with Hashem doing that? Where do we find Hechan Ashkechan Tzadiki the Ikru Shasos? Where do we find the idea that the word Shasos can mean Tzadikim as a reference to Chizkiyo HaMelech? So the Gemara said, the Chsiv, because it's written, Ki Hashem Mutsuke Aretz, that to Hashem are the pillars or the foundations of the earth, v'yashas aleihem tevel, and the Ribbono Shel Olam placed the world upon it. So what do you see? You see v'yashas aleihem tevel, that he placed the world on the pillars are called shas. Now we know that we say tzaddik yesod olam, that a tzaddik is the foundation of the world. So you see that the foundation of the world is called v'yashas, is shas. And we know that tzaddikim are the foundation of the world. And so therefore, when it says that the shasos will be destroyed, could be a reference to Chizkiyo and his group because they were tzaddikim. Okay? V'yibayis'ema, alternatively, you could learn the pasuk mehacha because it says, hifli etza, a wondrous advice or counsel, higdil toshia. So that the Torah is expanded. So toshia, Tushia is a reference to the Torah, so therefore that lashon of shas, hakiyas shasos yehi rasun, could be a reference to the Torah and the people who learn it. So you see that it could be a reference to Chizkiyo and his people who were tzaddikim. Okay, so now that we've talked about this, we're going to get into some other things about this word Toshia. That's Tushia. That it's Torah. Amar Rav Chanan lama nikra shmo Tushia. Why is the Torah called Toshia? Because it weakens the power of a person. Could mean it weakens his Yetzer Hara, weakens his baser instincts. The idea is that the Torah is Mateshes Kocho. Dabar Acher, Toshia Shenitna B'chashoy Mipnei HaSatan. That the Torah was given secretly in front of the Satan. So again, that's a Toshes in the sense of Mateshes, that it's it's tamped down, just like it tamped down the power, it tamped down the publicity around the Torah. Rashi says, why mipnei ha-satan? Shayimakatrek v'amar tistapik le'olyonim le'yimsur aluchos b'yad Moshe. Because the satan was saying that you should keep the Torah in the Shemayim and you shouldn't give it over to Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, the Torah is called Tushia because it's given Mateshes, tamped down, so that the Satan wouldn't know that they were giving the Torah. Davar Acher, Tushia, Dvarim Shel Tohu, Shel Olam Mishotes Aleim. That when Tushia comes from the idea that you have Dvarim Shel Tohu, means words have no substance, they're just words, but yet, Ha'olam Mishoseis Aleim, that the world rests on it, and is the foundation of the world is the words of Torah that people learn. So therefore, Toshia is a nutrikin, Rashi says, of Tohu and Shas. So Toshia is the fact that you have words have no substance, that are yet the foundation of the world. Amar Ula, Machshava Moeles Afilu L'Divrei Torah. Now, this is interesting. Machshava, the way Rashi understands it according to his first pshat, is that daigas halev amazonosu shel adam, that worries people have about their livelihood, mo'eles, are helpful to forget afilu l'divrei Torah, meaning if you're busy with thinking all day and worrying about your livelihood, you're going to forget Torah. Shenemar, mefer machshavos arumim lo sa'asena yedeyam toshia. That he's saying that if he is mayfair, the concerns, he negates the concerns of people who are smart, and then they're not going to come to forget the Torah. So Rashi says, mayfair machshavos harum nosin lemizonos, that Ribbono Shel Olam gives them mizonos, umavato machshavos milibam, and he takes away the concerns from their heart because they're no longer worried about their livelihood, shaloi hayu menichonos on lasos tashia, which were preventing them, from forgetting Torah. Rashi has another pshat, but I don't know that we have time for it. Amar Rabba, imasukin l'shma, don't worry, if you're being osik in Torah l'shma, or enamo eles, that you're not going to forget your learning. Shenema Rabba's mafshavas b'lev ishvi atzas Hashem isakum. That there are lots of thoughts in the heart of man, but at the end of the day, the atzas Hashem will stand. Eitza sheyesh bo dvar Hashem. If you have something that has in it the word Hashem, that has the motivation is for Hashem, he sakum liolam, it's going to stand forever. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amasai. So we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, when do we say that a mesachik bekuvya, a gambler, is pasul eidos? When it's his full-time profession. But if it's part-time profession, then he's not that way. I'm Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Lazar, halachik Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. This would be either according to Rami Bar Chama, who holds that it's machlokas in the Mishnah, or perhaps, I think we quoted as Rabbi Yehuda, and someone who had also the view that asmachta kanya, so even though that wouldn't be in the Mishnah, they're saying halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a gambler is only pasul eidos when he's a full-time gambler. Another thing we say, Rabbi Avo in the name of Rabbi Lazar, kulan trichan achraza bebezdin. That generally speaking, all these people we said are pasul eidos, it's not pshat that if you're standing at a wedding and you ask the guy, are you a gambler? Right? But rather, if you know someone's a gambler, you should get up and say, heads up, don't pick this guy as your aide because he's a gambler. So when we pasul someone for eidos on gambling or any of these things is only if we got up and announced that he's that. Roa, what about a shepherd? Pligi baravacha ravino. Chadam or bayachraza, chadam or loy bayachraza. A roa was a machlokas. Do you need to announce it or not? Because some people say, how do they know he's a roa? Maybe they see him in shul. They don't realize he's a roa. But they say, no, the other version is people see him walking around with the animals. They know he's a roa, and therefore you don't necessarily need to announce about him. You know that he's pasulatus. The Gemara says, bishlam alamandam or loy bayachraza. It works well according to the one who says they don't need announcements. Hainudam rev Yehudam Rav, this that we learned yesterday. Stam roa pasul. We said that a regular roa, you assume that they're puzzle. A tax collector, you don't assume that they're puzzle. We brought the father of Zerah as an example. So he says, if you understand that automatically a roa is puzzle and you don't need to announce it, so that makes sense why the Gemara said that a stam roa is puzzle. But if you're telling me, El Man Damer Bayachraza, but if you're telling me that no one is puzzle aidus unless you've announced it, my stam roa puzzle. What does it mean that you can just assume that a roa is possible? So the Gemara says, the stamo machrizin aleh. That he says, that they would just automatically assume that a roe is pasul edus, and therefore they would announce so and so is a roe. Don't use him as an aid. Okay, we're going to see something interesting, a very important halacha, that you had a gift document that was assigned on it to people who are gazlanim. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel wanted to be machshir it. Why? Because even though these edim were gazlanim, were thieves, no one had ever announced that they were thieves, and therefore, according to the halacha we just said, they should be allowed to be valid edim, and the document is a valid document because no one had announced that they're invalid witnesses. The halacha is on alaya because they didn't announce on them. Amrlei Rava, Rava said to him, "Nihi the beinan hachraza begazan drabanan." It's true that we need hachraza, we need announcement in cases like our Mishnah, where it's only gezel drabanan. For example, asmachta lekanya by gambling, or you say that the because darkei shalom you shouldn't take the pigeons of other people. Those things are all the rabbanan. But gazan daraisa mi beinan hachraza. But if the guy is a gazan daraisa, he doesn't need announcement. The Torah says he's not a valid aid. So therefore, there's a big qualification to this thing of announcement, that if someone is a gazlan midrabanan, he violated something midrabanan, so then in order to puzzle him as an aid, someone needs to get up and say he's puzzle. But if he walks up to someone and, you know, mugs him, and he's a gazlan daraisa, then you don't need to announce it because he's puzzled by the Torah. Okay, simen davar varayis ganam. Amar Rav Nachman, ochle davar acher psulun le'edus. You know what? We'll stop here. Tomorrow is Shabbos, so we have a little liberty to go over. So Mr. Shem will pick up tomorrow. Yeah.